Welcome to the How to Buy or Sell a Business Successfully podcast. The concepts discussed in this podcast are for informational purposes only. No attorney-client relationship is intended or formed by this podcast. No legal advice is intended in the substance of this podcast. Feel free to check out our website, www.goformanlaw.com. Enjoy the show and welcome your hosts, Jake Wayman and Sam Forman. Welcome back to another episode of How to Buy and Sell a Business Successfully. This is the final episode in a four-part series on SBA loans. Today, we're focusing on using SBA loans in the purchase of real estate. Our focus in this series is on using SBA loan programs in the context of buying a business, buying out a partner, or buying into a business from an ownership perspective, or on these kind of real estate transactions. Certainly, these programs can also be used for other purposes, and so please be sure to chat with your banker about that if you've got questions. The SBA guidance is hundreds of pages long and changes from time to time, so please consult with your banker or other professional advisors for more detail and to stay up to date with relevant changes. We're recording this in October of 2023. There were some fairly significant recent changes in August of 2023, just for folks to keep track of the timing on that there. We'll cover a lot of practical advice and key concepts in today's episodes to try to give you a good starting point on your journey. This podcast is not legal advice, and no attorney-client relationship is formed by this content. It's also not a loan approval. You have to fill out a loan application for that. So please be sure to chat with your professional team early and often in the process. So let's do introductions. Jill, why don't you start us off?
Hi, I'm Jill Garcia. I'm with Emprise Bank, our SBA administrator.
Hi, my name is Ben Wren, also with Emprise Bank. I'm a business banker focusing on SBA lending and healthcare lending.
I'm Sam Forman. I'm a business attorney, and I work with a lot of folks who are buying or selling businesses or real estate.
And my name is Jake Wayman, and my wife and I are the owners of the Orange Theory Fitness Studios here in Wichita.
All right. I think you've got our first question today, Jake.
Yeah. So, you know, we've gone through this process and we've asked it a few times in throughout the past episodes, but we're talking about real estate this time. So, you know, really, how much can you look to borrow through the SBA for real estate?
Yeah. So a lot of what we've talked about kind of earlier is revolving around the SBA 7A program. We'll kind of stick with that. So $5 million for total loan amount through the SBA can be a bigger purchase price, but that's the max loan amount for the SBA portion of the loan. Kind of just a quick thing I'll mention. So there also is with real estate, there's the SBA 504 program. That is a little bit more complex of a program, probably would take a lot more time to explain a lot of the different details of it, but that is another option if you're looking at doing that. So feel free to reach out to SBA experts for more information on that program as well.
No, that's great. So how long does the SBA loan process take for someone that's financing real estate, either on its own or as part of the purchase of a business?
Yeah. So, I mean, the nice thing that with it being real estate, I mean, it's pretty much similar to a real estate transaction as far as you're looking at what's the appraised amount or what's the purchase price. You know, kind of where your collateral is. And so as far as that, you know, you've got to build up time for appraisals. Generally, those are, I mean, 30 to 45 days. I think it's kind of normalized out a little bit. It was kind of crazy for a while earlier this year. But yeah. But I mean, as far as the process, I mean, I would say it's pretty similar to doing it traditionally. You know, we've got to get the financials, get the appraisal, all of that type of stuff. But generally within, I mean, 30 to 45 days from approval, and we can have that closed on the real estate side of things.
Great. So kind of front to back from when they first meet with you to when they're closing on their deal, kind of 60 to 90 days, depending on how fast they
generally
get you.
I mean, if it's just real estate, if you're doing a business purchase as well, an acquisition, and there's contracts and leases and all that involved, it could complicate that. But yeah, I think that's a pretty good time frame.
Sure. So just real estate, 60 to 90 days from, you know, when they, you know, have that first meeting with you to when they might be closing on their deal.
Yep.
If it's part of a broader business, then, you know, that's something where they really need a more specific answer based on, you know, hey, how complicated is the deal structure? Could be, you know, another 30 days, 60 days, just anything, you know, any number of variations depending on all the factors that go into that.
I think that sounds about right.
Okay. No, that's terrific. And as a lawyer, I would like to take this moment to remind everybody that they should have by now tattooed on their forearm and their forehead the phrase, "it depends," because you will hear it so many times from lawyers and others.
And bankers.
Yeah, through the deal process.
But and SBA experts.
That's part of why it's so important to start the process early and be really organized, is because the more lead time you have in the process, the more you can plan well so that things that can be addressed earlier in the process and structured appropriately don't become delays in the process. So I think, Jacob, you've got the next question about kind of the use of the business.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or the use of the real estate.
Yeah, because I mean, buying real estate is a little bit new to me on the SBA process, and so I'm interested in this one because, so if you're buying a business, how much of the real estate has to be used for the business?
Yeah, on that, there's a couple ways to set that up. I mean, the operating company can buy the real estate if they want to, or a lot of people will set up a holding company or a passive company, however you want to refer to that. I think the bank likes to call it a holding company a lot of times, but that's a separate entity that will own the real estate, and then they will lease that building back to the operating company. So to your small business, they'll lease it back to you 100% of that building. And then from there, the operating company has to at least occupy 51% of the building. They can then sublease up to 49% of that to other businesses if they want to. And so that way, you know, we're not looking for that holding company to be some sort of an investment type of real estate holding company. That holding company is just there for your small business, for your operating company, to be able to get the benefit of setting up, you know, the tax advantages and other things like that that are available.
Sure. So not to be Captain Obvious here, but this really isn't, these programs really aren't for folks that want to have investment real estate.
Right.
This is really for small businesses that want to own real estate related to their business.
Yeah. That way they don't have to lease if they don't want to. You know, they can actually own the real estate that it's going to be into.
Okay.
So it's really just to be used for your small business.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And if somebody is looking for investment real estate, that really belongs in another loan program.
Yeah.
Yep.
Absolutely. Okay.
And it's real estate. And if it's good real estate, there's another loan program for it.
Yeah.
No, that's great. What about new construction? Are there particular rules on occupancy of new construction?
Yeah. So if they do new construction, the operating company has to occupy at least 60%. And then they can lease or sublease the rest of it, but they need to have plans to occupy 80% of that building in 3 years and 100% in 10 years. And, you know, I think the whole idea around some of that is that we're hoping that your small business will grow and that you'll be able to expand in the real estate that you have, and that the whole idea of the real estate wasn't just for investment purposes again.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Yeah. No, that's helpful. That's helpful. So what does the borrower really need to bring to the table when it comes to things like the down payment and the injection, Ben? What do they need to be prepared with? Is there budgeting for, is this really even the right time to do the deal? And am I even really ready?
Right. Well, and I think that's a lot of times kind of where we start that conversation. If someone may want to purchase a building, and then, you know, whether or not they're able to come up with the down payment or the injection. Generally on real estate transactions, we're going to be looking at 15% down. And so we'll finance up to 85%, either of, generally it's the lesser of the purchase amount or the appraised value. But to generally, I mean, 15% is kind of a rule to, or a guideline to look at for there. Again, with the 504 program, that can change a little bit, but that's a little more complex and we can save that for later.
Gotcha.
Collateral wise, on that, I mean, generally the value is going to be built into the building. I mean, the appraisal has to kind of support the purchase price. You know, we have had some deals that we've worked on where if you've got they're purchasing a business and the real estate as well. Sometimes that's a little bit kind of up in the air where you may have to adjust that a little bit and say, okay, well, the appraisal came in a little lower here, so we'll adjust the business value here. But generally with real estate, it's a fairly simple deal.
No, that's terrific. What about life insurance? Is that often required on the real estate loan side of things, or it's sort of like the dirt doesn't die? So
we need a counter back here for the
it depends. I got dark fast.
We need like an it depends counter back here. You know, with real estate generally, because of the fact that the bank's going to be fully secured with the real estate as the collateral, life insurance isn't necessarily required on a lot of these. Again, that's more from the 7A side of things. Sometimes in 504, it will be. Yep, but that's another day.
Yep. No, that's terrific. And then personal guarantees.
Yeah. So it's pretty much the same as kind of what we talked about before. If you're more than 20% ownership, that we would require a full guarantor. SBA does require one full and limited guarantor. But generally, it's just one of those that we want in place that if for some reason something should happen to the business and they stop paying, that we still want to make sure, and the SBA wants to make sure that that they're getting repaid on that loan.
And this may be a dumb question because I just want to know. If they're going into, if a business owner or somebody's going to purchase a business, and are they getting out two SBA loans, one for the real estate and one for the business?
Yeah. So a lot of times, I mean, going back to what Jill said earlier about the holding company, a lot of times we'll do the one loan for the purchase of the real estate in the holding company. Generally also tying that back into guarantees will require that the operating company, because that's, I mean, the actual business that's generating the money. So have the operating company guarantee the loan for the holding company as well. And then have a separate loan for the purchase of the operating company with the personal, with the owners guaranteeing that loan as well.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. And so if you've got, you know, partial owners, are those guarantees limited to their percentage of ownership?
It depends.
It's a drinking game. We hit 100 today.
No, I think, again, like as a pretty general rule, 20% or greater ownership, we're going to require that. That being said, I mean, every case is different. There are some that if you have the investors that come in that are a smaller portion, you know, they may say, hey, like I'll do my 15% and I'll commit to that, but anything above that, I'm not putting that much in. So, I mean, sometimes we can look at kind of how we structure some of those and set it up that way.
But that's kind of back to something we've talked about on prior episodes here, which is the bank's in the business of making good loans and making sure that there's adequate risk protection on those, even the ones where it's backed by the SBA. And they're going to look at, you know, what kind of guarantees are being brought to the table to try to make that work. And, you know, on the legal side of things, where there's not a comfort level on the bank side to limit those guarantees, a lot of times folks will handle that with an internal agreement among the owners to sort of set up clear rules and process as far as, hey, if you know, you've got an unlimited guarantee and you've got to pay this amount, but it exceeds your ownership percentage, you know, there's some sort of structure to try to take care of balancing out that risk in a clear fashion. And that can be a good way to address those. So I think Jacob, you had a question earlier about seller financing. Do you want to?
Yeah, because as in the past episodes, there's always a seller involved. I mean, you're buying something from somebody, and so, you know, how much can the seller finance? I mean, I know it's probably going to be it depends. but yeah, I mean, it's like, can there be some opportunities with that where the seller may finance part of the portion of it?
Yeah, I mean, if a seller wanted to, they could. There's not really a limit. We don't see it very often because usually the rate and the term on real estate is so favorable for the customer that there's not a need for seller financing. So we don't see it very often, but it could happen. And if nothing else, maybe some of that seller financing, you know, if they're not just buying real estate, but buying a business too, maybe that seller financing is going to come in on the other side.
Yeah. I was going to ask that question. If you can do that, if like, it would be like the full out on the real estate, but then seller financing on like the actual business side of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, a lot of times too, we'll see it where they do kind of tie in together. So if someone is buying into a business of the operating business, but, you know, then they want to also get the benefit of having a partial ownership of the real estate as well. So it may be they'll do X amount of the buying into the business, but then the real estate as well. And sometimes the holding company and the operating company have different ownership. You know, there may be five partners involved in the business, but two people that have, you know, own the building that way. And so again, everyone's different. We kind of structure it how it needs to be.
Sure. No, that's great. That's great. I feel like on this podcast series, we should do one of those games, like what you see with like the guess the jelly beans in the jar, but we should do it with It Depends. And we should have some sort of prize. We'll figure that out. If we do that later, it'll be by social media.
Make it a drinking game.
And next on this week's wellness tip.
Anyways.
So let's talk about some of our key takeaways from today. Jill, why don't you kick us off with, you know, any kind of key takeaways that you hope folks will come away from with today's from today's episode?
Yeah, I mean, I still think, you know, this is still a real estate purchase transaction. So adding the SBA or a 504 program or whatever, I mean, yeah, they might add some more items that we might need to close, or, you know, maybe structure it a little bit different. But at the end of the day, it's still just a real estate purchase. So it's going to function in the same manner that type of transaction would take.
No, that's great. That's great. How about you, Ben?
No, I think that's a good point. I mean, and kind of to build off of that, I mean, I think we've talked some throughout a couple of these episodes of the importance of having a good team around you. And I mean, attorney, accountant, banker, all of that type of stuff. And I think that with some of the different programs that are available, that's where having a good team comes in, because, you know, there may be specific advantages that are going the 504 route, which may be a little bit more complex, a little bit longer, or as opposed to going the 7A. So make sure the people you're working with are kind of qualified, experienced, and kind of pointing you in the right direction.
No, that's terrific. I think my key takeaway is, as you're structuring your deal and as things change throughout your deal, as it relates to the real estate side of the transaction, pay really close attention to those percentage requirements on use of the real estate. Because if that changes, it might take you from being able to qualify for the program to not being able to qualify at all.
I mean, it's surprising how many we've had. I mean, I know I had one that I think it came in at 51.29%, and we weren't sure. I mean, we had to get some clarification around what constitutes actual occupying it. And so there's been a couple that have been really close.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't hit it, then
so you mean I can't put like a toilet in like this side of it, and that counts as 100% because I just put it way over in the corner, and I'm going to go use it.
That falls under the commode rule. Yeah. It's an exception in the footnotes.
Yeah, refer to the SOP for the SBA.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and my takeaway is, you know, it's being strategic. You can be strategic as a business owner, and what I mean by that is like use the SBA as a partner. There's a lot of tools out there. I mean, in these episodes, I mean, you can use it to purchase the asset of business, but also on the real estate side, you can actually use the SBA in a lot of different forms. And so as a business owner, look as the SBA and your bank as partners when you're going through this process.
Can I, if I could just tack on to that really quick, one thing I'd like to just add with that, I think a lot of times with SBA lending, I think people have kind of heard some horror stories in the in the past, or just, you know, they're like, oh, well, it's more expensive, it's a longer process, it's all of that. I mean, I think using the SBA as a tool is something that we've really taken advantage. And it's a really good program that's out there for folks that maybe can't qualify for traditional financing. I mean, it's designed for that purpose of like, there may not be enough collateral in buying a business. You know, you may not have all of, you know, 20% down to put an injection in. But I think that looking at that and utilizing it with some of the benefits of the program, and again, they've loosened up a lot on SBA lending, and they want people to go out and they want to support small business. Banks want to support small business. And so take advantage of the resources that are out there, and don't be scared to ask some questions and look into it.
No, that's great stuff. Well, on each of these episodes, we want to talk about a wellness tip that we think will be useful for helping folks have a really great experience during their deal process. Jacob, what tip do you have for folks today?
Yeah, I mean, as the business owner, you're kind of the leader of the process. I mean, you're the one who's going to, in the end, own this business, own this real estate, own whatever that you're going through this process. So, I mean, a lot of it's taking care of yourself, you know, a lot of self-care. And I mean, you're dealing with, you know, you have your family involved, you have your spouse involved, you have the partners that you're involved with. So, I mean, but at the end of the day, if you're not on your A game, no one else is going to be on their A game. So you need to make sure you take care of yourself.
No, that's excellent. And we see folks miss that sometimes. And the deal process should be a great one. And self-care is an awesome way really invest in that process. Well, thank you everyone for joining us for this episode of how to buy and sell a business successfully, as we've talked through using SBA loans to purchase real estate. And thank you if you've listened all the way through on this series, as we've now completed part four of this series. Thank you to our special guests here, Jill Garcia and Ben Wren, for bringing such valuable content to folks. We really want to help you have an excellent deal process and hope this information has been really useful to you. And with that, have a wonderful day, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us today. For future episodes, please subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. And please check out our website at www.goforemanlaw.com/learning.